Chapter 53. But the Gamalites, indeed, derived momentary courage from their great and unaccountable success. But when they subsequently considered that they had deprived themselves of all hope of terms, and thought of the impossibility of escape, for their supplies had already failed them, they became terribly dejected and lost their souls. Truly, they did not neglect to take what precautions they could for their salvation. Instead, even the bravest among them guarded the breaches in the wall, and the rest manned what still remained of the wall. But when the Romans proceeded to strengthen their earthworks and attempted a second assault, many of the citizens began to flee from the city, either down through the trackless ravines where no guards were posted, or through the underground passages. Yet truly, everyone who stayed behind out of terror of being caught were perishing from hunger. For every quarter had been ransacked for provisions, being reserved for those capable of bearing arms. And these were indeed the difficult circumstances which the Gamalites endured to the end. But Vespasianus, making a minor diversion from the siege, undertook the task of subduing the occupants of Mount Tabor. This place lies halfway between the Great Plain and Scuthopolis. Indeed, it rises to a height of 30 stadia and is nearly inaccessible on its northern slope. But its summit is a plain 26 stadia long, completely enwalled. Now I had erected this extensive enclosure in 40 days, having been supplied from below with both other materials as well as water. For the settlers were even solely dependent on rainwater. Therefore, because a vast multitude had gathered together at this spot, Vespasianus dispatched Placidos there with 600 cavalry. Indeed, Placidos, finding it impracticable to ascend the mountain, made peaceable overtures to the multitude, offering his right hand in pledge and exhorting them to accept the offer. Now they descended, but with counter designs of their own. For although Placidos addressed them mildly, his objective was to capture them in the plain. So they came down ostensibly in compliance with his proposals, but with the real intention of falling upon him while he was off guard. However, Placidos's craftiness surmounted their own. For when the Judeans began to battle, he feigned flight, and having drawn his pursuers far into the plain, he suddenly wheeled his cavalry around and routed them. But most of them were indeed done away with, but the remainder of the multitude was intercepted by him and prevented from reascending the mountain. So these fugitives indeed abandoned Mount Tabor, fleeing to Jerusalem. But the natives, under an assurance of protection, but also pressed by the failure of their water supply, surrendered both the mountain and themselves to Plakidos. Now at Gamala, the bolder citizens were indeed stealthily escaping, while the feebler ones were being utterly destroyed by a famine. But the effective combatants continued to sustain the siege until the 22nd day of the month, Huperberetaios. At that time, about morning watch, three soldiers of the 15th Legion crept up to the base of a projecting tower opposite to them and began quietly undermining it. Now the guards stationed above failed to sense them, for it was night, either when they approached or after they had reached it. But these soldiers, with as little noise as possible, even succeeded in rolling away its five chief stones. And then they hastily returned. But at this, the tower suddenly collapsed with a tremendous crash. And its guards were indeed carried headlong with it. But the guards at the other posts fled in bewilderment, and many who ventured to cut their way out were utterly destroyed by the Romans. And one of these was Joseph, who was done away with by a missile while making his escape across the breach in the wall. Now those throughout the city, confounded by the crash, both ran here and there in great trepidation and believed that all of their foes had fallen upon them. And at the same moment, Chares, who was bedridden and in the hands of physicians, departed. His anxiety largely contributing to the death caused by his sickness. Yet truly, the Romans, remembering their former disaster, deferred from entering the city until the 23rd day of the month. Now on that day, Titos, for he had now returned, was angry at the reverse which the Romans had sustained in his absence. So he selected 200 picked cavalry and a body of infantry and quietly entered the city. And the guards, indeed apprised of his entry, flew with shouts to arms. But when the incursion was conspicuous to those who were within the city, indeed some, snatching up their children and dragging their wives after them, fled up to the citadel along with their wailing and weeping families. But those who faced Titos fell incessantly. But any who lacked the means to run back to the top were bewildered and fell into the hands of the Roman guards. Now on all sides, the ceaseless moan of the murder victims was heard, and the whole city was flooded with blood pouring down the slopes. But in order to aid the attack against those who had fled up the citadel, Vespasianus now brought in his entire force. Now the summit was both completely rock-strewn and difficult to ascend. It towered to an immense height and was surrounded with precipices. Everywhere yawned to the depths below. Here, the Judeans wreaked havoc among the advancing enemy with every species of projectiles and with rocks which they rolled down upon them. While they, due to their height, were difficult to be hit by a projectile from their enemies. But to seal their ruin, there arose such a demonic hurricane against their faces that it indeed carried the Romans' projectiles against them while reflecting and deflecting their own. But due to the violence of the wind, they were unable to retain a foothold firm enough to stand upon the edge of the precipices, nor to see their approaching foes. Now the Romans mounted the crest and indeed quickly surrounded them. Indeed, some of the Judeans resisted, but others held out their hands for surrender. But at the recollection of those who had been destroyed in the first incursion, the Romans whetted their fury against everyone. But, despairing of their salvation and surrounded on every side, many of the Judeans plunged themselves headlong off the precipices, along with their women and children, into the ravine. Now this ravine had been excavated to a vast depth beneath the citadel. Now in comparison, the present anger of the Romans appeared to be more mild than the frantic self-immolation of the vanquished. Yet indeed, only 4,000 were slaughtered by the Romans, while those who threw themselves over the cliff were found to exceed 5,000. But not a person escaped, except for 2 women. Now they were daughters of Philippos' sister, but Philippos himself was the son of Joachim, a distinguished man who had been King Agrippa's tetrarch. But these escaped because at the time the city was taken, they had concealed themselves. For at that moment, the anger of the Romans was so great that they did not even spare infants. But time after time, many were snatched up and slung down from the citadel. This was indeed how Gamala was taken on the 23rd day of the month Huperberetaios, after a revolt which began on the 24th day of the month Gorpiaios.